Seated next to me, just across the table from my microphone, is Mr. Fred Viceras, who is one of the world's most famous dancers, a real hoofer from the word go. Fred?
How do you do, Mr. Scott? It's a great pleasure to be with you folks this afternoon.
Pleasure to have you at our WRC microphone, Fred.
Thanks.
How long have you been dancing, Fred?
Oh, about 10 years professionally.
10 years professionally?
Yes.
I imagine when you were just a youngster, your mother used to take you to the old vaudeville houses, and you'd watch some of the great dancers of your time, and this inspired you to become a dancer,
no,
right?
No, nothing like that, no.
What's the story on your dance?
Well, I used to listen to the radio and hear all these dance studios advertising, you know, you get 6 free lessons if you call now.
Yeah?
So I called all the dance studios, took the free lessons, and moved on to the next one. So 10 years and about 10 dance studios later, I'm a pro.
Gee, how many free lessons do you figure you acquired?
Approximately $200,000 worth of free lessons.
You really made out like a tall dog in a briar patch.
Sure did, yes, sir.
Quite a hoofer, aren't you?
Yep.
Well, do you have special dance shoes made for your dancing?
Oh, yes, I have the special dance shoes with the cleats on them, and, you know...
That Buster Brown thing on your shoe is just a laugh.
Yes, that's just for kicks, you know, just a yes. sort of a little yes. deceiving thing. Actually, go to Kenny's, you know.
Yes. All right. Well, anyway, maybe you'd like to demonstrate to our WRC listeners the first rudimental step in learning to tap dance.
Yeah, maybe.
Would you like to do it?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah, would you do it?
All right, let me get up here.
This is the...
Will this pick up on radio? I mean, you know... It's...
Well, the show sure has, but maybe the interview will
Okay, help. This is just a simple, basic tap dancing step here.
Very good. He's going to do it.
There you go.
I'm sure that if you could see this, you'd probably appreciate it a little more, although the sound was very distinct.
I hope that they could get something out of it, yes.
Can you give us now a little more tempered, a little more advanced step?
Let's... Yeah, this is what we call a triple toe tap.
Triple toe tap.
Yeah, okay.
That's
got the Holy Feet and Count. He used to play with the Howard Kemp Orchestra years ago.
I noticed the shades of I've Got a Date with an Angel.
Yes,
on there.
Yeah, Skinny had got a date with an angel.
Okay, yeah, that's good.
The major at Seven.
Do you have any exclusives yourself? Anything that you do as a specialty act?
Yes, I have something that I don't think any other dancer has done.
What's that?
On the stage. That is to dance on the top of a regular bass drum.
You dance on a bass drum?
Yes. A kettle drum, I guess you'd call it. Yes.
Well, you can call it anything you want to. I call it magnificent.
Thank you. I'd like to demonstrate that for you. We've got the drum right here.
I see.
Wheel it in, boys.
Okay.
Now then, I just hoist myself on top of this drum here.
Gee, this is really going to be interesting. I wish you could see this, folks.
Now, then you notice I don't have too much of an area in which to work here.
I'm sorry we couldn't afford a band to provide you some music.
I am, too. It's a pretty chinchy interview, I think, but...
I'd love the dance.
You know, well, I'll do it unaccompanied. Okay?
Is this a fancy dance?
Oh, this is a real fancy one. Stand
all
back
right.
and get in the air here.
Okay, we're watching.
Okay.
Gentlemen, we've had a little problem here, apparently. Something. What's the matter there, Fred?
Well, Mr. Scott.
What's the matter?
The head just fell off the drum. Can you get me out of here? I'm inside the drum.
Well, let me see if I can help you. Come on here, fella.
Yeah, can you get me out?
We better switch you back to our studio. This boy's a little... I'm trying to get you out now, Fred.
Yeah.
Back to the studio.
Birdseed, the greatest name in birdseed, brings you another exciting episode of Just Plain Stellar Bear. King Kong Birdseed, the only birdseed that makes your parakeet look like an ape, sound like a lion, and gentle as a bear, brings you another exciting coincidence. Starring Stellar Bear, gifted stage and screen star Margaret Hartburn in the title role, Kindly Old Lady. As our story opens, we find Papa Bear and Mama Bear inside the bear living room, where they're apparently planning to watch a little television, shall we judge?
Yeah, it's a good dinner, Ma. Just sit down here and relax and watch TV.
Boy, it sure is good just to have Herbert back in reform school. So
yes, it is.
Get a little quiet and peace around here.
Well, turn on the set, Ma. I want to watch the Huntley Brinkley Report. Time for the news.
No, wait a minute. I wanted to watch my television westerns. I missed them. You can watch your news later on.
Oh, come
know.
On. No,
I'm going to watch the westerns.
Set on there and see what we get. When we get on.
Come on, Bill. Let's get him, boy.
Oh, that's not the Huntley Brinkley Report. Let me switch over here and get another
channel. I told you,
if
you get your hands off that
channel. I want to watch the news.
I'm going to watch a Western.
Wiggins! Oh!
all, that's still not the white show here.
I'm sick and tired. You just leave that to me.
No, I want to try another channel there.
I'm not...
Come on, boys. Those Indians are right behind us. Let's get moving. You're right.
Ma, that's still not the right show.
All right. I give up myself.
Let me try
this. If you want to watch Huntley and Brinkley, watch Huntley and Brinkley. I'm leaving the room.
All right. That's where you're going to be. I'll just switch the channel over here and watch it.
Good night, David.
Good night, Chet.
I missed the Huntley Brinkley report, and now the doggone television set's popped a tube.
Doggone you, Chet. What's the matter with you anyway? I'll call my service man.
Looks like he's stuck watching Douglas Edwards tonight. Is he still up? King Kong Betsy has brought you another exciting episode of Just Plain Still of Air, starring Margaret Fatburn in the title role. Yes, this kind little lady. Based on the book Not Enough Soon Enough by Claudia Clyde. Adapted for radio by Geraldine Fitzgeraldine.
Mr. Announcer, would you like to buy a busted television set cheap?
Listen, I'm a radio man, and I know which side my bread's buttered on. This has been a Sherman D. Tank production.
You're not welcome.
But I don't watch no television.
Happy birthday, dear Edwards. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
The candle, of course, is already lit, and if you'd like to, just go ahead and blow. Let's
you
get that
candle.
Oh, yes. Get one big one. Oh, come on. Try again. Now. Come on now. There. Congratulations and happy birthday, Ed. And here's your check for this week.
Thank you.
It's going to be real nice for you to have it.
Yeah, I noticed there's something extra in there. A blue slip. What does this mean?
Get out.
Thank you. After this year, I stopped counting them. As Bill Stern used to say, that's almost a 3-0 mark for tonight.
Now, listen,
thank you, gang. Stick around and we'll all listen to the news together as I'm here.
Now. King Kong Birdseed, the greatest name in birdseed, brings you another exciting episode of Just Plain Stella Bear. The only birdseed that makes your parakeet look like an ape, sound like a lion, and gentle as a bear. Yes, the heartwarming story of Stella Bear and her fight for love and happiness, starring the gifted stage and screen star, Margaret Fatburn, in the title role of Stella Bear.
Clear your throat, Stella.
Kind little lady, I've been doing it too long. Kind little lady. That story opens. Mama Bear and Papa Bear have just finished a cup of coffee. Oops. It's down there. Told you to quit drinking on the job. Some man got the DPs there. As our story opens, we find the Mama Bear and Papa Bear in the kitchen discussing something most important.
Now, it's very simple, Ma. We've got to remember to set all the clocks ahead an hour when we go to bed Saturday night.
Now, wait a minute, Pa.
See, daylight saving time starts midnight or 2 a.m. Sunday morning. Now, that means that we have an extra hour of daylight in the evening, so you can
now,
stay
wait,
outside.
You mean it starts actually Saturday night, then, doesn't it?
Well, technically, it's Sunday morning because it's 2 a.m., but then that actually moves it up to 3 a.m., see? When you actually hit 2 a.m., you lose an hour, and you don't get the hour back for 6 months.
Boy, you're a lion hog today. I'm not even in the show. I got 2 pages of Papa Bear.
Well, what's your question?
Well, I was just trying to figure out how we lost that hour as soon as we set the clock up.
Well, that's because they take it away from you for 6 months. You get it back in October again.
Grandma Fickard gave me that clock 20 years ago, and nobody's going to take it away from me.
Nobody's going to take the clock away, Ma. They're just going to move it up an hour.
Move my clock up an hour?
That's right. All you do is move the hour hand up an hour. It's as simple as that.
No wonder taxes are so high. They're going to pay some dummy all that money to come around and move all the clocks up an hour.
Oh, it gives you an extra hour of daylight, and during the evening you will have light till 8:30, 9 o'clock at night.
All right. Now, what does that mean to me?
Well, that means that you can stay outside longer if you want to.
Well, I don't see that really helps me any, does it?
That's Herbert play out on the streets longer. Lots of good things there.
Maybe the good humor truck's liable to run over.
Yes, there's always that possibility.
Ooh, twere true.
Now, if you'll just let me go over there and move the hands up on this clock and get it all set and fix the clocks all over the house for Sunday, we'll be all right.
Now, wait a minute. I think I've got a solution to the whole problem, Papa Bear.
What's that, Ma?
I've decided to sell the house.
Sell the house?
Sell the house.
What's that got to do with it?
We're going to move to Manassas.
What for?
They don't have no foolish daylight time down there. They stay like it's been for 200 years.
Oh, for goodness
sake. We to be in Manassas.
Like Manassas is going to be in the cold, cold ground here for the next couple of months if Mama Bear moves down there.
King Kong Birdseed has brought you another exciting episode of Just Blaze.
Some of you have never been in Manassas in January. Get it?
Manassas, yeah.
Well, that's it.
It's Friday and fun day. Based on the book Not Enough Soon Enough by Claudia. I'm so bored with doing this show. The only thing I do, you know, folks, since
here's a little something for you.
What's this? It's pink. After 22 years. Well, move over, one man family. We all gotta go sometime.
Welcome once again to our fabulous interview session here. We are indeed fortunate to have with us in our studio, without a doubt, one of the nation's greatest dancing teams. And it's been a real pleasure for us to sit here and chat with them before this brief radio interview. I'm talking about Marge and Gouger, champions. These wonderful people have been dancing their way into the hearts of many Americans by way of television, motion pictures, and the regular legitimate theater. Mr. Marge and Mr. Gouger. Miss Gouger, is it Miss Gouger?
No, he's Gouger, and I'm Marge.
Hello, Gouger.
How do you do?
And you are Marge.
Yes, that's right.
Well, you sit down here and make yourself comfortable.
Thank you. We work together so well.
You've been married now for about 15 years,
haven't you? That's correct, Willard, and I can truthfully say that we work together very well in the various media.
Well, that's wonderful. It's really very, very wonderful for us to be able to chat with you again.
We'd like to demonstrate a few of our more complicated dance steps for the people this afternoon. Gouger is going to do a few of the more complicated steps we've done on the Dinosaur Show and the Steve Allen Show and many of the other shows.
Well, I've certainly been a great fan of yours for a long time, and it's going to be a pleasure to watch you work.
What would you like to see me do first, Will?
Well, just show us some basic steps that you all have developed. You have your own style, even in basic steps, I understand.
Yes, we do. Now, Gouger, would you like to go first?
All right, dear. Let me see here. Here's a very basic step, Willard, that you might see in any chorus line where you sort of, the hoofers, you know.
Wait a minute, Gouger! Gouger!
What?
I think you did that wrong, Gouger. You were supposed to, the left foot should come out just a little bit.
Oh, okay, honey, if that's what you... I think I'm right.
No, you're not. Now, you try it my way.
Okay. I still think that's harder to do than the, well, anyway, one of the big dances these days is the cha-cha-cha. Now, if you give me a little cha-cha beat there, Willard, I'll try to do a cha-cha for you.
Wait. Hold it.
What's the matter now?
I don't think you did that quite right, Gouger.
For goodness sake, Marge, I'm just as much a part of this team as you are, and I don't think you should criticize the way I do these dance steps.
It did seem a little awkward with that left foot.
All right,
part
listen, if
one,
you think you're Marge, so smart, Marge, why don't you do them yourself?
All right. Give me that cha-cha beat again, Willard. I'll show him how to do it.
He tripped.
I never did such a thing in my life.
I saw you trip.
20 years working together.
You keep out of this, Scott.
This is
my problem.
No, it's my problem, too. Now, I don't have to stand around
here. You put your foot right there.
I'm going to go to see Fred Astaire or Catherine Murray or something.
I don't want to get involved in a family fight. But, you did.
I was right here. Where were you? We invited you to the party and nobody ever showed up. I'm disgusted with you.
So, well, Rick, nobody ever showed up to a party around this crazy place. You get all the beer and the broads in
there? Forget it.
70, 75. You are there.
Have an hour yourself there.
It was in April of 1775 that Paul Revere made his famous ride to the New England states. One if by land, two if by sea. This was the word that was handed out. And our NBC microphone and Walter Boxkite, our NBC correspondent, was there. We switch you now to Walter Boxkite, a kite, somewhere in New England.
photo box kite somewhere in New England, where we are awaiting the midnight ride of Paul Revere. The scene has been set for you now. We're standing in front of an old farmhouse. Off in the distance, I can hear the horse of Paul Revere. He's now approaching. Oh, come on, horse. Whoa, Larry. Whoa.
Revere. I work for the Revere Copper and Brass Works. Would you like to buy a few pots and pans? These are stainless steel, and they don't smear, they don't do anything, and they're waterless cookery, and they're wonderful.
We don't need no pots and pans. Now get out of here. Quick.
This was the famous scene in April in 1775. You were all
our WRC weather girl, sweetheart of all Washington, here she is stepping out of her plate glass booth. She fell again. Help her up, somebody. There she is, Miss Janitor.
Good afternoon. Pepper Young, box 245, Grand Central Station. Father Barber, box 442, Secret, San Francisco.
Wait a minute. What does this have to do with the weather? What are these names you're reading of? Pepper Young and Father Barber and all that?
Well, these are people that... their soap operas went off the air last week, and I thought somebody might like to give them a job.
Oh, I see. So you're giving their mailing address so that you can be helpful, huh?
That's right.
Very thoughtful of you, dear, but don't you think you ought to give the weather? I mean, that's what we pay you for around here.
Well, that's the question.
That sure is. The question is how long are you going to keep you, too? Well, why don't you go back and, sharpen up the pencil for Frank Forrester or something, will you?
Okay.
So long. Miss Janitor may be back tomorrow, but it's doubtful.
Attention, please. The next event is Janitor.
This is WRC sportscaster Jim Simpleton speaking to you from the Ricky Sports Coliseum here at the nation's capital, where the World Champion Javelin Throw Tournament is being held. Arnold Ripjoint, two-time Javelin Throws World Champion, is about to heave the spear javelin, attempting to set a new world's record. From where we're standing, we can look right down the line of throw. Arnold is poised, his muscles tighten, he grips the spear, and here comes the throw. Ooh. Ladies and gentlemen, Arnold Ripjoint has been disqualified since his aim was off and a javelin spear went out of bounds. This is Jim Simpleton returning to our studio.
Time once again for the moment for which so many of you have been waiting. Time to check the temperatures in our area. And here's the girl who was voted Miss Fit of 1959. Stepping out of her glass booth now. Oh, she fell again. Well, par for the course, I guess. Here is Miss Janet.
Thank you. California, GPL 432-615. Pennsylvania, LM 465-579. Washington, GK L2-347.
Just a moment. What are all these numbers you're reading? I don't hear a temperature in the whole bit there. What is it?
Well, as I came in this afternoon, I checked the licenses on the cars in the NBC parking lot, and I jotted them down thinking they might be of interest to people that own their cars. It's sort of like hearing your name on the radio.
I see. Well, that's very thoughtful of you, but I'm sure all the folks wanted to hear the temperatures.
Well, that's what Frank Forrester's here for.
Well, I hate to disillusion you, dear, but that's what you're hired for, to read us the temperatures. Now, why didn't you have them today?
Well, the newsroom just isn't cooperating this week.
I see. Well, you haven't been cooperating with us for months. If you'll check your pay envelope tomorrow, there'll be a little something extra in there for you.
Really?
Yes. It's pink.
Thousands of years, men have been mystified and horrified at the ancient art of head shrinking. Where did it come from? How did it start? Why did men wish to shrink our heads of human men and other men's heads? Pardon me, dear. Today we have with us... a little loud in the studio, but we have her here in the studio with us
today from high up in the Andes Mountains of South America, from deep within the Musha Musha country, the famed South American head shrinker and witch doctor, Dr. Scooby-Doo. Dr. Scooby-Doo, welcome.
Good afternoon, friends. It is a great pleasure to be with you today.
Your senorita is a little noisy in the background there. I think she had some radishes for lunch.
It is very possible, senor. Today,
give an Alka-Seltzer.
Today we discuss the mystic art of head shrinking.
You have been shrinking heads for years.
It's an old native custom, shrinking heads, yes.
Why do men shrink heads, Doctor?
Sometimes one man feels that another man's head is a trifle too big, as in show business, and we shrink the head. And sometimes when we capture our criminals in war, we wear the heads on our belt.
And you call that showbiz?
Head shrinking.
I say yes. Well, I notice you have all sorts of intricate little tools.
That is correct, yes.
What are these delicate little instruments you have here?
All of these vials contain the mystic ingredients for my formula for shrinking heads.
What is this?
Right here, you see, we have a dash of Pettyrosporum ovale.
See?
A little sodium acetyl salicylate.
What is this over here?
A little excerpt of jasmine branch. And there we have some Scooby-Doo juice.
Scooby-Doo juice.
Some caterpillar milk. Right there, we pour a dash of that.
I see.
Then a little hexachlorophene.
I see.
Essence of pisteris there.
Pisteris, I see.
Right. Mm-hmm. And finally, a pinch of Brigitte Bardot.
A pinch of Brigitte Bardot? Now, wait a minute. What kind of jazz is a pinch of Brigitte Bardot?
Wishful thinking, my friend.
All
yes,
right.
Of course.
Are you going to shrink a head for it?
I will endeavor to shrink a head for you.
Okay.
My assistant will come in.
Look at the head on it. It slits beer before, doesn't it?
Stand still, my boy.
All right, now, what are you going to do with it?
I just mix these magic ingredients that I have told you about together there. Stir well. Now then, I shall rub it on his head. Notice the head is beginning to shrink. There it goes. You notice that? Notice how the head has shrunken?
Looks just like the end of a gear shift.
Yes, that is correct. Very good for getting into sports cars.
Sits up there like a wart, doesn't it?
Now you know that my magic formula works.
That's wonderful.
You can sell it to DuPont and make
That's
a million.
Wonderful. Yeah. Look out, you spilled it, Professor.
Oh, I never think that.
Don't get it on me.
I'm sorry.
Don't rub it on your head.
Why,
Professor.
I've got a heavy day tonight. I might as well
rub it on my head. Look what happened to my head.
The professor's head is shrunk down
this
to the size of a knob in here. I think we'd better get...
Call a doctor.
Smithsonian, we got one for
Call
you.
Call a doctor, will you, please?
Call a doctor, please.
King Kong Birdseed, the only birdseed that makes your parakeet look like an ape, sound like a lion, and gentle as a bear, brings you the heartwarming story of Stella Bear and her fight for love and happiness. Starring the gifted stage and screen star Margaret Hartburn in the title role of Stella Bear, kind little lady. It is late afternoon in the Bear House as Astoria opens. We find Papa Bear, Mama Bear, and Herbert Bear, their young 38-year-old son, who is still in the seventh grade at school. Apparently, Herbert's in a contest of some kind, as Papa Bear says.
Herbert, now, let me get this straight. You're going to be in the big contest at school.
Yeah, that's right, Pa. I'm going to be in a bubble gum blowing contest.
Man's a notion, Herbert. Let's get it out straight again. Now, what kind of contest?
The bubble gum blowing contest.
You're going to be in the bubble gum blowing contest.
Yeah, this is the semifinals coming up tomorrow night, boy. And
You've got the mouth for it, Herbert.
You think so, do you?
Yeah.
Well, I bought a couple of wads of bubble gum here, and I thought maybe you could watch and see how good I'm doing.
Well, just be careful.
We'll just pop a couple of these.
Why doesn't our son do something like enter the boxcar derbies or something? I mean,
boy, this is good bubble gum. You know, they got a new flavor here or something. I don't know what it is. It's
chicken mint.
Pizza,
like
I think
smell it across the room. Man.
Okay. You stand back now. I'm going to blow a big bubble, and I want you to tell me if you think it's big enough to win the contest, okay?
All right,
okay, Herbert. Go ahead, John. Oh, God, now, Herbert, don't make the bubble first.
Oh, don't worry about a thing.
You talk plainer with that bubble gum in your mouth than you do ordinarily. Boy, that's a big bubble you got there, Herbert. Good night. Look at that. It's covering the whole room.
Herbert, be careful.
Don't worry about me, Ma. Boy, I got a real good bubble gum going here. It's, ooh, it busted.
It sure did.
Boy.
Blew the whole bed as well as the bubble.
Boy, the bubble gum just broke here.
All over your hair, Herbert, you're a mess.
Well, no, the kids used to tell me I was stuck up, and I never quite understood what they mean, but boy, now I sure do. Boy, oh boy.
Looks like Herbert's all up in gum in his hair and all over his eyes, and he just went big old mess.
It's the most gummed up script I ever saw in my life.
Pretty bad, still, yes.
Certainly was.
King Kong Birdseed. The greatest name in birdseed has brought you another exciting episode of Just Plain Still a Bear.
Why don't you get sick again?
Based on the book Not Enough Soon Enough by Claudia Clyde. Adapted video by Geraldine Fitzgeraldine.
You're a little sick or something like that.
I think we're all sick. This has been a Sherman D. Tank production.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Get the penicillin over there.
Boy, I'll give him another shot in the arm there, will you?
In Cuba, where I had
him. He talks like him now.
Bela Lugosi's my grandfather. Actually, I had a real blast down there. But the point is, when I came back, I was very chagrined to find my partner and co-worker, Ed Walker, tired, pooped out, tuckered, just an old tiddling nervous wreck here. So I thought to myself, I'll go over to a travel agency and get Edward a vacation. So yesterday, I went over to a traveling agency. We'll write them next week. Are you the travel agency?
Yes, I am. And what can I do for you this afternoon?
My friend Ed Walker. I'm Walker of Walker and Scott.
Oh, you're on the radio, aren't you?
Well, better speaking, yes.
Yeah, for sure.
My partner, Ed Walker, is tired and nervous, and he needs a little bit of a rest and vacation. I was wondering if you couldn't suggest something nice for him to do, he and his wife and little baby girl.
Ooh, could I? Let's just look in my little catalog here. And now then.
What do you have something nice and restful and peaceful and quiet?
Just the thing he would like. Here's a wonderful one-week vacation in Nassau.
Wonderful.
Air-conditioned hotel room, radio, television,
wonderful.
Bar set up there.
Wonderful.
Three meals a day.
Well, how much?
$2,000.
No, that's too much. Eddie can't quite go that this time.
Oh, I thought you were treating him.
No, yeah. This is just for him.
All right, how about... Ooh, here's a nice one.
What's this?
Bermuda for 1 week.
Well,
air-conditioned room, radio, television, bath, private bath, phone, three meals a day.
How much?
$1,500.
Ooh, no. You pay. We want something a little more economical than this. Something a little, quiet and peaceful and restful.
Ooh, here's one.
What's that?
1 week in Miami. On the beach, air-conditioned room, hotel, bath, radio, television, three meals a day, car service at your disposal.
How much?
$1,000.
No. You missed the whole point. We need something economical, something that'll give him a rest, put his mind at ease. He doesn't want to buy the state or anything. He's not trying to move in on the government. He just wants something peaceful and quiet. Give us something in the economy line.
Well, here's just the thing he'd like.
What's this?
For 1 week.
What is it?
A room at the Y, $25.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, get out of here. That's not what he needs, I tell you.
Johnson & Swanson, world's greatest manufacturer of first aid kits, bring you another visit with Mr. Fix-It, Radio's original do-it-yourself program. Today, if we join Mr. Fix-It, we find him in his backyard with his gasoline-powered lawnmower.
Hello there. Hi, Willie Scott. How are you, pal?
Wonderful to see you. The birds are singing today.
Enough,
Brady. That's it. There
yes, sir, Willie boy. It's a wonderful springy day in Washington, isn't it?
Oh, it's a beautiful day, Mr. Fix-It.
Well, this week I thought we'd talk about cutting the grass.
That's a big subject, and will be during the coming months.
Yes, sir. From now until September or so, all the men of the house will be getting out there on Saturday afternoon to cut the lawn, you know?
Mow the lawn.
And I thought that I'd give you a few tips on how to get your gas lawnmower into shape for the spring season.
Of course, nobody uses an old hand-push lawnmower anymore, do they?
Not too much. Now you'll find most of them like to take it easy. They got a power mower.
Our recording engineer, Bob Shetton, he still uses a hand-driven mower.
Yeah, he's sort of decadent, isn't he? I've noticed that. Anyway, this
Don't
particular mower is a very comfortable one. You see, you can ride on this one.
Oh, this is really a cute little gadget, isn't it?
Now, this one, I...
got an umbrella over the top to shade you from the sun.
Keep you getting sunburn and everything.
Wonderful.
I've just about completed all the finishing touches on here. A little gas in there.
Uh-huh.
Now then, Willie... First, you got to make sure that the blades are sharpened. We've sharpened up the blades.
Ooh.
That's very sharp. Don't touch yourself
sharp.
There.
Yes.
And, of course, you have to have the motor well lubricated and ready for use.
Well oiled, Mr. Fix-It?
Yes, I am, but I'll be all right by the time the show is over.
Oh, well.
Now then, I'll just get up on the lawnmower here, and you pull this little string, you see, Willard, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, this thing is pretty good mower, I'll tell you. I built it myself, of course. And, whee! It's going pretty fast, Willie.
Hey, you're doing a great job. Radio's original do-it-yourselfer, Mr. Fix-It, brought to you by Johnson & Swanson. We are very fortunate to have with us in the club for you janitor listeners the famous French actor Philippe Lacreep, who has starred in many motion pictures. Halfway to There, The Sun Was Green, My Grandmother's Garter, and many other famous pictures which you've seen at the regular art cinemas across the country. But Monsieur Lacreep does not speak English, is that right?
That is correct. I am his interpreter.
Well, could we ask Mr. Lacreep some questions?
Before you do, Mr. Philippe wants me to tell you that he is most happy to be with you. He said yes. He agrees with me.
Yes, what?
Just yes.
Oh, all right.
Go ahead, ask me the first question.
We'd like to ask Mr. Lacreep how long he's been in motion pictures.
Mr. Lacreep, on a façon de que ça me dit, ça va la donner, c'est motion picture.
Yes, c'est un truc qui est étonnant, que ce soit un cuisseur, que ce soit un truc qui est en soi, c'est un truc qui est en deux, ou j'ai son droit, que mes frontes de bien-droit et pérance en contrôle, que c'est un truc qui est en droit, qui est en droit, c'est un truc qui est en droit, c'est un truc qui est
He forgot.
Oh, he did it.
Yeah.
Well, let's ask him where he got his first big break in motion pictures in France, or was it working the circuit in the Riviera, or just now did he get his first big break?
Monsieur Lacreep, je vais vous donner le son de la façon de motion picture, je vais de Paris, par exemple, je vais vous donner c'est là, New York.
Squeeze!
He said that there was a long story. He was discovered by a French artist in Paris one day, given a screen test. And since that time, he's been a big motion picture star.
I think this interview has all the essence of a great big phony fake.
Monsieur, you hurt me deeply when you say things like that.
Well, I don't mean to imply anything.
Monsieur Lacreep, par exemple, que ça va descendre. Par
exemple, de
Monsieur Lacreep says, drop dead.
Back to our studio.
And now...
Birdseed, the greatest name in birdseed. The only birdseed that makes your parakeet look like an ape, sound like a lion, and just you as a bear. Brings you another exciting episode of the heartwarming story of Stella Bear and her fight for love and happiness. Starring the gifted stage and screen star, Margaret Hartburn, in the title role of Stella Bear, kindly old lady. As our story opens, we find Mama Bear and Papa Bear out of the town for an evening, visiting with the Guggenheims up the street for a charming dinner. Dinner has just been finished. Dishes are being put away. The story opens. Papa Bear looks at Mama Bear and says,
"Boy, they're nice folks, aren't they, Ma, the Guggenheims?
Hello,
good food there. Sure enjoyed that shrimp wiggle escapoodle, I'll tell you that, Ma.
Yeah, I didn't mind the shrimp escapoodle, but the wiggle there sort of got on.
Made me glad you enjoyed the meal. You certainly are, Mr. and Mrs. Bear.
Oh, Mr. Guggenheim, it certainly is nice to have you have it over.
Nice to have good friends when you get together once in a while, yeah?
Isn't that the nice?
Yeah, that sure is.
Wish they'd take that swastika off the wall. It's kind of diehard, that's
Say, you, did you leave babysitting with Herbert tonight, Ma, or did you?
No, I thought Herbert's big enough. He's 38. Let him take care of himself.
You know, he's not too dependable, Ma.
He can amuse himself.
Yeah.
He's on his toes. He gets a different answer every time. He seems to enjoy that.
I see. Well, maybe you ought to call him just to check on him.
Herbert!
Go right ahead.
No, he's not here. You got to call him on the phone.
Go right ahead and use the phone there, Mrs. Bear, if you want to.
Thank you very much.
Just give him a call, Ma, and see how he's...
Yeah,
just checking. I'm sure he's all right.
My number's Emerson 2 4 5. We got a good number.
It sounds like NBC there.
Well,
I'm sure Herbert's all right. I just like to check on these things, you know, Ma. It's better to be safe than sorry.
Sure, hope Herbert's all right. My Herbert is such a dependable man.
Did he answer yet, Ma?
Not yet.
What a doody doody. Sure die. You start talking.
Hello, Herbert. This is your mother, Mama Bear.
Oh, hello, Mama Bear. How are you? Doody doo doo doo.
Fine, darling. How are you?
Oh, just fine. We're having a wonderful time over here. It's kind of cool outside, so you know what I did? I built a great big roaring fire right here in the living room. Boy, it's nice and cozy.
But, Herbert.
What, Ma?
We ain't got no fireplace.
No wonder I couldn't find the chimney. Doody doo doo doo.
Papa Bear.
What, Ma?
Herbert built a fire in the house.
But we don't have a fireplace, Ma.
He knows now.
Told you better check on him. Yeah, a little heavy thing. Like he's a
pyromaniac. Is it? King Kong Birdseed has just brought to you another exciting episode of Just Plain Stella Bear, starring Margaret Fatbird in the title role of Stella Bear, Kindly Old Lady, based on the book Not Enough, Soon Enough by Claudia Clyde, adapted for radio by Geraldine Fitzgeraldine. This has been a Sherman D. Tank production.
You're welcome. Friends, this is Carl Kruller broadcasting from Georgetown here. We're speaking to you from the non-existent donut shop in Georgetown, where a lot of the beatniks hang out here. This is where they come for quiet, uninhibited conversation, some coffee and pastries, and poems, and good talk and fellowship. And as you see, across the table from me this afternoon is one of the people who frequent this place. What is your name, Brad?
Please, quiet.
Huh?
Quiet, please.
I'm sorry.
I'm listening.
You're listening to what, Brad?
I'm listening to the wind. Don't you hear it? Listen, man, it's beautiful.
There are a few noises from the air conditioner there. That's about all.
The wind. The wind is talking. And the wind is saying?
No, what's it saying?
Of course you wouldn't understand what the wind is saying. All you do is listen to people talk.
Yes, well...
Have you read my newest book?
No, I haven't. By the way, what's your name, friend?
My name is Nick Beat.
Nick, good to have you with us, boy.
You didn't read my new book.
No, what is the book, Nick?
Whatever Happened to People is the name of my new book.
I see. I understand, Nick, that you're quite a poet.
I write a little poem.
How did you...
Would you please be quiet? Those two over there are trying to communicate, and you're disturbing the
friends of
poem.
I'm not saying a word.
That's not... You missed the whole bit. You apparently don't understand what we are here for. We are here for what we're here for.
I'm here to interview you, Nick. That's what I'm here for now. I see on your napkin here you've written a few poems. Would you care to read them to me?
I was
lost out there.
Yes, you know.
But well, let me hear one of your poems, Nick, boy.
A Kangaroo's Pouch and My Grandmother.
Yes, go on.
That's it.
That's the poem?
That's the poem.
It doesn't even rhyme.
Well, it's abstract. It
certainly is.
It don't have to rhyme. It's just poem.
And this is a big selling book these days, huh?
Well, the book is no there. The poem is the book.
That is the
book. Yeah.
I see.
Would you like another one?
Yes, I would.
Stripe.
And what?
That's it.
Just stripes.
Well, it's the word. It's supposed to conjure what it means in the mind.
Yes, I see.
What you do.
Notice you're drinking coffee there, Nick. Can I have a cup of that Java there with you, please?
Well, you certainly
may. The interview shouldn't be a total loss, the interview. Yes, thank you, Nick. That's very...
Isn't that delicious?
There's nothing in here, Nick.
That's it. Instant nothing. It's good coffee.
Oh, this is ridiculous. One final question, Nick. I understand you've written here.
Wait. The room is moving.
You all right?
Don't you feel it? The room is moving around.
No, I don't notice it. No.
The room is moving around, and it's moving up and down as it moves around.
It is?
Yes.
I see.
Kiss me.
I think somebody's got your swivel chair hooked up here. Nick, I understand you've written a poem, or a book, of your life. Here's the book here. I'd just like to read the preface.
It's sort of an audio biography.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it's all sound. It's an audio
biography. Nothing in here, Nick.
Why?
They're all blank pages. Nothing written on them.
That's the story of my life. It's a
big nothing?
No, it's the way the pulp is arranged. Can't you see
the way the pulp is arranged?
Well, you see, the paper is made of pulp paper.
Yeah?
And the way the pulp is arranged is the way that my life is arranged.
What does that mean?
That means I'm a tree.
You're a tree?
That's right.
Well, I've never heard such ridiculous carrying on in my life.
Hey, what's that?
The dog.
Get that dog away from me.
Why?
I'm a tree. Get that dog away.
This is ridiculous.
Get that dog.
This has been a big nothing interview. Now back to our studio. Yes, Wild Bill Hickok does make belts.
No, Popsicle is not the name of a soap opera character.
Yes, Buster Crab is the name of a special seafood dinner at O'Donnell's restaurant.
No, Morgan David is not the name of an NBC newscaster. It's time once more for radio's time-honored program, The Answer Man. Now in its 83rd year, each week at this time, The Answer Man answers the questions you, the radio listener, send to him. from now. Here is the answer man.
Well, good afternoon, folks, and hello there, Willard Scott.
Hello, Mr. Answer Man.
It's good to be with you folks again today, and I see we have lots of letters in the old mailbag.
Like always, sir.
Well, let's read the first one, shall we?
Our first question comes from a school teacher from Southeast, right?
Yes.
Why were the Romans interested in building such an extensive road system?
Well, you see, the Romans were very enthusiastic sports car drivers, and they used to have drag races on the weekends. And Ben-Hur, I think, was president of the group, and they had chariots with wire wheels. Sort of a Corvette club of the Stone Age. You know how it was.
Second question from an office worker from downtown who writes, what is the largest member of the bird family that flies?
I guess that would be Harry Bird. He flies from Norfolk to Richmond and back around all over the state of Virginia. He really gets all over the place.
Our third question, a racehorse fan says, he would like to know what a good tip would be for tomorrow's 4th at Laurel.
Oh, for goodness sake, how did anybody have the nerve to write a question like that? Now, you know that we don't give out information of that sort on this program. It's not good radio ethics or practice to give out information of that type when it has to do with a paramutual system. Tony's son looks pretty good in the 4th.
A young rocket enthusiast from Gordon Junior High School would like to know the reason for internal combustion in the second stage of an average normal workaday rocket.
Well, you've got to figure that the average normal workaday rocket has the three stages. And the second stage, of course, where you have the internal combustion, is created by a result of the first stage interaction on the third stage.
Let's time out
the
show.
Second
the answer man.
Is the fact stage.
For which you'd like
as a matter of fact,
just put the letter on card to the answer man, WRC Radio, Red Square, Hartford 2, Virginia, along with $635 to cover the cost of handling and mailing. And be with us again next week when once again we'll present the Answer Man.
It's time once more for great moments in history, the facts and true story behind momentous events that have helped to shape the present day world. Today's great moment in history, the Cheapskate submarine surfaces at the North Pole. Ladies and gentlemen, the Cheapskate, one of the first atomic-powered submarines, had just left Groton, Connecticut. As the submarine pulled away, the hatches were backing down. Inside, below deck of the submarine, for 4 days, it sailed underneath the surface of the water toward the center point of its destination, the North Pole. What was its mission? What was it to accomplish? The captain, 30 seconds before arriving at the North Pole, explained to his men.
Now hear this. Now hear this. You men have been handpicked for this special mission. I cannot impress upon you the importance of this mission and what a morale builder this will be for the United States Navy. In just 15 seconds, we'll be immediately under the ice cap of the North Pole. After we've passed under the ice cap, we will surface.
Gee, I wonder what we're doing here. What's the reason for surfacing at the North Pole?
We need the ice for cocktails at the officers' club.
And that's today. Great moment in history. The true story, in fact, behind the Cheapskate voyage underneath the ice cap at the North Pole.
And now,
King Kong Birdseed, the only bird seed that makes your parakeet smell like an ape, look like a lion, and gentle as a bear, brings you the exciting behind-the-scenes stuff.
You've got the wrong microphone.
I like it with a little depth.
You please.
As an echo.
I'll file a grievance with management if you don't open the right microphone.
Okay,
I've been doing soap operas for 45 years on this network, and I've never worked with such a crummy and sorry dummy heart.
The gifted stage and screen star, Margaret Blackburn.
You are the Argus. Can we do anything to get organization?
All right, okay.
Forget it. I don't know you know. That story, I forgot how the story opens. They shake me up so bad. I wanted to be a garbage collector. My daddy wanted me to be ready for
this. Oh, you're sweet, I wish I was back in CBS and fresh and handsome.
The story opens here, right here on this page. Mama Bear is living.
The story opens. Mama Bear and Papa Bear are in the living room, living, I guess. I'm...
Kill that argument.
Ma. Earthy moon, light, and roses bring wonderful memories of moonlight and roses.
What are you doing, Ma?
Oh, I'm trying to compose a song.
What are you going to say?
The moon is yellow, and that's
why I love you. You are so beautiful in your dress of gingham blue.
Oh.
I see you again in my dreams.
Oh, you gonna fix dinner, Ma?
On the new WPAM screen. I love you because blue moonlight and noses. Time again, I wait for you each day. I see you the whole day. Whole day.
Ma.
Time again, I wait for you.
I'm hungry, Ma.
Time again, the whole day through, I wait. Time again, the whole day through, I need a word, Paul.
Word?
Yeah, time again, the whole
day. Sick.
Sick don't rhyme with through.
Don't have to rhyme. I'm sick and tired of sitting here listening to you compose these moony, spoony songs, for goodness sake. You're not going to be no Victor Hubert or Irving Berlitz or none of those fellas. Why don't you just go out and fix dinner, Ma? I'm hungry.
But you're no Robert Hall, either,
Intimate glimpses of the private life of Mama Bear and Papa Bear. Well, the night level's nice and loud now.
Thanks.
Nice. Thank you. King Kong Bedseed has brought you another exciting edition of Just Plain Fill of Air, starring Margaret Hartburn in the title role, based on the book Not Enough Soon Enough by Claudia Clyde. Ooh, sounds just like Pepper Young's family now. Adapted for radio by Geraldine Fitzgeraldine. This has been a Sherman D. Tank production. Welcome.
Out of northwest on the Culver Boulevard come the thundering hoofbeats of Grey Horse Blackjump. With a cloud of dust and a hearty hi-ho slobber, the sod buster rides again. No better in the pages of history can be fought against the Amazon of justice. A more fearless, hard-riding, straight-shooting, bear-drinking, beating son of God. It's the sod buster. A true gentleman of the old school. Grim, bearded, little children respected him, women loved him. A true gentleman.
Thank you.
Adventure is written by Larry Lorette, produced by Bernie Harrison, directed by Dave Brickway. The entire production is supervised for NBC Radio by Bernice Wilnett. The choreography number done by Matt Marshall, Matt Dillard, was saved by the Smithsonian Institute.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Al Melonhead speaking to you from Marlboro Race Course here near Washington, D.C. with my assistant, Silbert. We're out here to cover the broadcast of the preparations for the President's Cup races this Sunday. This is the fifth annual running. All the sports car enthusiasts around the area are here in preparation for this big race. Now, today, they're just sort of running the cars through for timing and to get acquainted with the track, you know, sports fans. Now, then, in just a minute, we'll see a few of these cars in their test run. Silbert is my assistant. He's standing by, spotting the races for me. And I'm sure all you sports enthusiasts have been loving this. Right now, I see that a couple of the drivers are in their cars now, ready to rev up their motors. Let's start them off here. Here's one of them starting off. Probably getting that motor all wrapped up there, sports fans. He can tell. There he is. Now, he's got to take a small lap around the track here. There he goes. They say it's okay. And off he goes. Now, there's another Corvette right behind him. And he's going to rev up his motors right now, take a little test run across the track here. It's a pretty busy day for me out here, sports fans. Here comes that Corvette around the track now. And he took a little rubber off the tires there. I've been out here all day, a little hungry and dry. Silbert, would you run across the track to the hot dog stand to get me a large Coke and a cheeseburger, friend?
Do I? Yes, you will. A large Coca-Cola and a cheeseburger.
Thank you, Silbert.
Yes, sir. Look. Better watch out. They're getting kind of sneaky on that. Look to the right, look to the left, and here I go again. Whee! That was a shaver, wasn't it, boy? Do you want a cheeseburger and a Coke?
That's right. Be careful, old gentleman.
Here I go. Oh, boy, this is going to be a tough job. I can't, well, I'm going to make it this time here, but let me get out here now. I look to the right, I look to the left. There's nothing coming. Here I go.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Al Melonhead back in the booth. A very strange thing just happened here. My assistant Silver couldn't quite get across the track before that Corvette caught up with him. But he's racing the Corvette. He's way out ahead of him now. He's going to take the checkered flag all by himself, and he's just broken the all-time lap record in Marlboro.
This is the important thing, Mr. Melonhead. Look, I didn't still have got for your Coca-Cola. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Lloyd Dutcher of the Sports WRC sitting in the Purple Tree Room down here in Washington, D.C., And today we have a real celebrity in Washington, the star of the famous NBC television show, Bat Masterson, who wears a derby and carries a cane, Mr. Gene Barry Berry. He's in the studio with us. Gene Barry, Barry?
Good afternoon.
Welcome. Nice to have you aboard, sir.
Nice to be with you here this afternoon.
Hi, Gene.
Oh, shut up.
Getting with a cane, Gene. You interrupted when I was talking. I don't like that.
Well, it's a carryover from the show. I have to get so many people to cane you. That's sort of my trademark.
I'm not a great with the Barry Berry.
Yes, no. Wow.
People wouldn't interrupt me when I'm being interviewed. Get the waiter right next to the table.
Well, he bothered me.
Gene, you've been in television for a long time, haven't you?
That's right. I've been in television for a long time, and just recently I seen this good role of Bat Masterson.
Excuse me, but I think that's my drink over there.
I think you're out of
here. He knocked a drink right out of his hand with a cane.
Now, he shouldn't have interrupted me. No. Anyway, I understand that Bat Masterson used to work with Wyatt Earp. I was on the Wyatt Earp show for a while.
Hey, Mommy, isn't that Bat Masterson over there?
Get out of my way, kid.
It's a kid with a cane.
Well, I wish they wouldn't bother me. I hate these autograph seekers. People always trying to butt in when you're trying to do your eat your meals or talk to somebody.
It's I don't want to. I don't want to say anything, Bat.
Well, good. Let's keep it that way.
I think it's a little, you know, big man like you go around hitting people with a stick.
Come on, who asked you? I'll hit you if you want to.
Not your studio. I like Wyatt Earp.
collaboration with Johnson and Swanson, world's greatest manufacturer of first aid kits, brings you another visit with Mr. Fix-It, radio's original do-it-yourself program. Today, as we join Mr. Fix-It, we're outdoors in his backyard, apparently working on some kind of a barbecue pit.
Yes, Hi, Mr. Fix-It. I'm working on a barbecue pit, some sort of, yes.
You fixed that opening there, Mr. Fix-It.
What, did I do something wrong?
Oh, I liked it, but how are you?
Fine. Well, gee, it's a nice day, isn't it, huh?
Yes, the birds are singing.
That's enough.
Oh, it's beautiful, Mr. Fix-It. Lovely,
this is the time of year when people get the urge to have their meals cooked out of doors. You know, grilled pork chops, grilled steaks, hamburgers even taste better, hot dogs, anything
at all. I'll bet you I can second guess what you're going to do.
What are we going to do?
I'll bet you're going to tell the folks how they can build themselves a beautiful outdoor barbecue pit.
That's right. Yeah, I'd suggest. Sure. Now, we're going to build an outdoor barbecue pit, only this is a little different one. This is a very lightweight barbecue pit. It's not one of these wrought iron things. This is made out of bricks. Now, you see, I bought these bricks cheap over at the junkyard here. This guy had them. They look awful light to be bricks, but the guy told me they were bricks, so, you know, I take his word for it.
They look awfully light to be bricks, but I guess you took their word for it.
Yeah, I sure did. And now, the thing is, I have perfected a new thing here, Willard. This is chemical treatment to make sure that the bricks are sticking together very nice. It's Mr. Fix-It's own cement, instant cement.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Comes in a tube here, or you can buy it in the spray can, you know.
Well, you finished this fireplace over here. It's beautiful. Just a couple more bricks to add.
Yeah, I just saved a few to show you here. Now, look, I take the stuff and I rub it all over my hands.
Yeah.
Now, I rub this on the bricks here. Make sure they're coated. Now, I take the brick and slap it on there. See there?
That's wonderful.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, you got a match?
Yeah.
I got you. Let me put some charcoal in the barbecue pit here now. I think it'd be nice if we, I just happen to have a half a pound of hamburger. So, you know, I'll have a little snack, okay?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Have a catch it. There we go.
It's beginning to burn already.
Yeah. See, this is very good. The coals are beginning to catch here. And we don't want anybody to catch colds, but you know what I mean.
That's wonderful.
Just a minute, no time at all. We'll have a fire going, and we can grill our hamburgers.
We're going
here.
Good there, but look, the flames are leaping up against the side of the barbecue pit there, Mr. Fix-It.
I don't understand that. Barbecue pit looks to be...
Well, the flames are really going crazy.
Yeah, I noticed that. Let me just check the bricks on this barbecue pit and make sure they're
all right. Mr. Fix-It, the whole barbecue pit is ablaze. I'm going to go inside and call the fire department.
Yeah, well, something is wrong here. The guy told me that they were bricks, but by golly, you know, I think they were wood painted to look like bricks.
Or wood bricks.
That was fire
department.
Hey, that was
fire department. We've been visiting with Mr. Fix-It, radio's original do-it-yourselfer. Mr. Fix-It is brought to you by Johnson & Swanson, the world's foremost manufacturer of first aid kits. Be listening again next week when you'll hear Mr. Fix-It say...
Out! You're very happy about this one. The Washington Plumbers Association just voted us two of the biggest drips in radio. This is NBC in Washington. Of course, you know, Frank Forster comes up in just a few seconds. But first of all, we want to call in our weather prognosticator, the Washington Weather Tower. What does that mean? Wilbur Weathervane, are you there, Wilbur?
Weathervane here, speaking from the Washington Weather Tower. And I want you to know that certain weathermen, I'm not mentioning names, it's free to have you believe, that the Dalai Lama is still in India due to a rainstorm created by another set certain weatherman that never created such certain rain.
I think you're talking around in circles, Wilbur. Do you have any predictions for the weekend?
I sure do. It's going to be swinging. We got a party lined up down at Bethany Beach.
I meant the weather itself.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I don't give it rain or snow. I want to get out of town as quick as possible.
Do you want to find out what the weather's going to be?
Well, before we go on with this miserable program, I wished a certain weatherman would please get a certain group of weather maps out of another certain weatherman's office. It's highly annoying to have these weather maps lying around, just accumulating dust. A sloppy weatherman is not my idea of an authority, and I'm sick and tired of it.
Wilbur, I got news for you. They gave that office to Frank Forrester.
Who's she?
Well, that's Frank Forrester, and here he is.
Manitowoc West, the country's large, come the front, we hope
the great horse platinum, and a cloud of dust and a hearty high-ho slobber, the Sodbuster rides again. Nowhere in the pages of history can you find a greater champion of justice, a more fearless, hard-riding, straight-shooting, beer-drinking, peace-aiding son of a sod. It's the Sodbuster, a true gentleman of the old school. Men feared him. Little children respected him. Women loved him. Thrilling days of any old year, we'll be fine roaming about the bad wild lands of the old west, protecting law and order, keeping the vigil, watching the girls, and the what is the... On beyond Tacoma Park, up into College Park area, roam the Sodbuster, the man that was the U.S. Marshal, and the U.S. Marshal that was a man. Along with his sidekick, Chester.
Why'd you kick me in the side, Mr. Dillon?
You're my sidekick, Chester.
It was early evening. Sodbuster, Matt Dillard, and Chester Drawers were standing outside in the shade.
Nice cool evening out here in the Chester.
Yes, sir. Sure is, Mr. Dillard. What you doing?
Watching old man Sloan chop down that big old pine tree there.
Oh, he sure is a working powerful hard, ain't he, Mr.
Sure is, Chester.
Mr. Dillard?
Hmm?
Did you see that wild, bearded-looking varmint with the big black hat on and the long six-shooter who was looking asking for you?
No, I didn't, Chester.
He's been asking all over town for you, Mr. Dillard.
Really? Did you see him in the saloon?
Oh, he's a fierce-looking critter. I ain't never seen the likes of him in a long time, Mr. Dillard.
Well, maybe I better walk on over there. Where is he? At the Short Branch, Chester?
He's over there at the saloon having himself one or two.
Well, come on, let's go, Chester. I wonder what he wants. He looks mean, Chester.
Oh, he's meaner than 10 wildcats, Mr. Dillard.
Yeah.
I ain't never seen a more vicious looking critter. Let's go on inside.
All right, let's go on in here.
Kitty ain't here tonight either, is she, Mr. Dillard?
No, we wrote her out of the script the last few weeks, Chester.
Doing a guest out on Maverick again.
Yeah. Got him over there.
That's him, Mr. Dillard. I want to stand back and
watch. You wait here, Chester. I'll be right back. Hey, you.
Yeah.
You looking for me?
You Matt Dillard?
Right.
Reckon I am.
I'm the marshal around these parts.
You're the marshal, Matt Dillard?
That's right, sir.
You're the one I've been looking for.
All right. What's on your mind?
Reckon I better give it to you straight.
All right.
I represent the Encyclopedia Britannica. Would you like to buy a set of 12 volumes for only $15.40? We'll throw in the World Book, plus an issue of Life magazine and Playboy for 2 weeks.
I'll take it.
He's cold. Sign the paper. It's been a pleasure doing this with you, Mr. Marshall.
All right.
So long, sucker.
Get out of my town.
Well, Mr. Dillard, wasn't too exciting after all.
Silliest thing I ever heard of, Chester. Man, well, coming around here acting mean and ornery like that.
Oh.
Well, old man Sloan got his tree down anyway, Chester.
Mr. Dillard, would you get that tree off me? I didn't see it coming.
Just heard another exciting adventure of Sodbuster, starring Matt Dillard and Chester Drawers. White Smoke, brought to you today by Hoo Ha Bubblegum, the greatest name in bubblegum. A bubble in every trouble makes it double fun to pop a bubble. The Sodbuster is written for radio by Larry Lorenz, produced by Bernie Harrison, directed by Dave Breckway. The entire production is supervised for NBC by Bernie Winnick.
Hey, buddy. You're in a fine encyclopedia, Chief.
Get out of here. I'm staff, man. I just take breaks around you. WRC Radio presents WRC Gardening Club. It's springtime in the nation's capital, and welcome once again as F. W. Bolgiani, the flower grower who grows here and there, presents our good friend Gordon Greenthumb and tips on Gordon.
Well, good afternoon, friends, and hello there, Willard Scott. It's a great pleasure to be with you again, fellow gardeners.
Well, Gordon, with that delightful 70 degree temperature on Saturday, I'm sure you're out there green thumbing it up.
Oh, we began to get our gardens into full swing again, tilling the soil and planting our little seeds out there and having just a wonderful time. Spring has come, the grass is riz. I wonder where my flowers is. Little poem, I know.
Well, I'm sure you're awfully glad to have as your sponsor for this new series on WRC, the F.W. Bolgiani Company, right?
Wonderful people, and they make wonderful garden seeds. And I've met Annie, and she is pretty bulgy, believe me.
Splendorella will take care of that part. Season's over. Well, now, how about some personal problems concerning the soil in the District of Columbia? Have you found the soil to be any particular problem, and how to correct it?
Well, one thing I have noticed, that most soil is dirty.
Yeah.
Now, this is a problem. If you don't like to mess your hands up when you're out there working, you better have some very effective detergent or soap inside so that when you finish gardening, you can give your hands a good scrubbing, because believe me, they will need it.
Well, what about the tool you're pruning? We had an interesting question concerning
Yes, that. Well, it is important that you prune your petunia.
It's a little bit on me, sir. Would you mind using the
It is important that you prune your petunias promptly.
Yes.
Because we must not be too imprompt in pruning our petunias.
This could be tragic.
It's better to be an impatient petunia pruner than an imprompt petunia pruner, because there is a penalty for impromptness in pruning petunias.
I see.
And this means that you must prune your petunias promptly and patiently,
yes,
and make sure that your petunias are pruned.
Certainly.
Prudently.
Well, one other question we'd like to ask you about particular preferences in flowers, your own particular preference. I knew I'd get it out of there. Your own particular preference in flowers.
Almost as bad as petunia pruning.
Yes,
there, isn't
well,
it?
Well, got me confused.
Well, I plant a few things that you can tell in my garden here. For instance, I have some five-sepia.
Wait a minute. Five-sepia?
It's a little bigger than four-sepia. A little inflation has moved in
big
here.
Big centers.
Yes.
I see.
And over there, I have some rhododendrons.
Rhododendron?
Yeah, we grow it with Vitalis. It's wonderful.
Oh, gets rid of the...
Well, it certainly does.
Makes it
wonderful flowers.
Well, this has been very interesting. And, of course, for those of you who are listening right now, I'm sure you'd like to know Mr. Gordon Greenthumb's own preference. Do you prefer, flower boxes or... do you prefer a little garden in the back or potted...
Potted?
Yes.
Well, I am, but I'll sober up before I go home. Yes.
Big weekend.
Be sure to prune your prunias.
F.W. Bolgiani has just brought you the WRC Gardening Club with Gordon Greenthumb.
Ding-tong bird seed. The greatest name in bird seed, the only bird seed that makes your parakeet look like an ape, sound like a lion, and gentle as a bear, brings you another exciting story of just plain Stella Bear. The heartwarming story of Stella Bear and her fight for love and happiness. Starring the guest stage and screen star, Margaret Hartburn, in the title role of Stella Bear. Yes, as that story opens, we find Mama Bear and Papa Bear sitting in the living room after having finished a delectable meal, a souffle of sorts with chicken, some kind of strange Chinese almond nuts, and a little bit of fishy do. And the story opens, the telephone rings. Papa Bear looks at Mama Bear.
Oh, I think the telephone's gonna ring.
Oh, Pop, you sure are psycho.
Yeah, I'm psycho, Pop.
I should ring again one more time. It's going to be a big chance. All right, I'll answer.
We're on two phones.
Come on, sound man. It sounds silly, but it'll ring the third time.
Let it ring a third time.
Hello, Mama Bear's residence. No, this is not Dallas, Texas. I'm sorry, you got the wrong number.
When they think it was Dallas, Texas,
doesn't it?
It's alive,
Comrade Chilton here. Hello, Mama Bear. No, this is not Spooky in Washington. No, I'm sorry, you got the wrong number.
People really got our number tonight, don't they, Ross?
Well, can you beat that?
For heaven's sake.
Hello, Mama Bear. No, this is not Walla Walla. No, it's... No, thank you.
What's your language? Walla Walla? That's the name of the
town. Where's that? I don't know.
No, it sounds like they stutter out there or something, doesn't it? I don't know. The phone is even jumping off the wall now, Ma.
Hello, Mama Bear's residence. No, this is not Peoria, Illinois. I'm getting mad about this.
Wonder what's causing all this.
Hello, Mama Bear's residence. No, this is not Montreal, Canada. That's the last one. You've been reading the wrong. Give that sound man a
minute. I'll bet I know what's wrong here.
What is it?
Somebody's dialing this new DDD, and they keep getting our number by mistake.
Either that or Artie Shaw's calling all of his wives. I'm not going to answer.
Rip the phone out of the wall.
Let's
get rid of it there. He looks like the telephone company's experimenting with DDD. Papa Bear is getting all riled up, and Mama Bear is all put out of this world. King Kong Bedfeed has brought you another exciting episode of Just Plain Stella Bear. Starring Margaret Hartburn in the title role, Kindly Old Lady. Based on the book Not Enough Soon Enough by Claudia Clyde. Adapted for radio by Geraldine Fitzgeraldine. And this has been a German Dean Tank production. You're welcome. Thank you. Ridge Mountains of Virginia, on the trail of the lonesome pine.
And now, Ooey Ooey Ukulele presents Arthur Godfish Time. Ooey Ooey, the greatest name in ukulele. And now, here he is, Arthur Godfish.
The old string.
How are you, folks? Boy, it's nice to see you. Wasn't it a beautiful day on Saturday? Sorry for coming.
It was, Arthur.
Pretty beautiful. Day. Who's sponsoring this quarter-hour meatball?
Ooey Ooey Ukulele.
Wait a minute, meatball. It's Ooey Ooey Ooka Ooka Ooka.
Arthur, you sound like a Ford car.
You'll be driving a Nash Rambler if you don't quit messing with big names.
Yeah, we call it Ooey Ooey Ukulele.
You know, Tony, son of a gun, I haven't played my ukulele for a long time.
Yes, it's been very nice that way, Arthur. I hope
you...
You know,
the fans have really been waiting for me to get back on the old string.
I don't think so, Arthur. I don't think that's necessary, Arthur.
Let's see if I can finger out a little melody.
Arthur, do you have to?
Let's see now. In the blue mountains of Virginia, on the trail of the lonesome pine,
Arthur.
In the pale moonlight of Virginia's light, he'll come a name and I don't know, Tony, you see, something wrong with the ukulele here. Tony, I used to be able to play a little Son of a Gun a lot better. Let me try another tune. Did you hear?
Well, Arthur, I have no choice, Arthur. Go right ahead.
Right, I'm paying you. Here we go. Let's win the red, red robin. Let's see.
All right.
When the red, red robin comes bop, 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 and along. There'll be no more robin when he starts dropping his hole. See, what's wrong with this,
Arthur?
Think that's wrong with the voice right now.
You're playing the same two chords over and over, Alvin.
Well, let's see if I can. Let's see. I'm going to try one more little tune here because it's a cute little instrument. Let me just try one more now. Let's see. All right. Here we go. Let's see. I see. On the beach at Waikiki. No, I think the little grass shack. It won't be long till I come back to my little grass shack in Hawaii. Auburn. Where the hookah, 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 hookah.
I'm like that car again.
Auburn. No, it will be Auburn.
That's what Auburn.
I can't see.
I think I figured the problem out, Auburn.
What's the matter?
The ukulele is out there. Hand me the ukulele, Auburn. I'll try to tune it up for you, Auburn. It's just a small case of...
Meatball, you busted my hookah hookah. Come here, Meatball. But all there was
on the
interest of good programming. In the hookah hookah of Virginia. At least I can't string the thing back up again. On the trail, it's the lonesome pine. In the pale moonlight. What's wrong with this thing?
Ringball, you can fix this thing. It's going to work right.